Not every week can offer a new slate of movie treasures. That's one reason why it's so good to live in today's media market, which gives us the opportunity to see pretty much anything, movies and television shows, anytime we want, in the comfort of our own homes. I'm Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. And in this week's show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I will discuss some of the latest shows we've binge-watched, some of the movies we've pulled out of the obscure cinema closet, and some of the latest streaming options we think are worth checking out. So don't touch that dial, because a special edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
When the news is good, it's good to hear. When the news is bad, it's essential to hear. You can depend on Spokane Public Radio to tell you what's going on, why it's happening, and to try to make sense of what it all means. People who are members of Spokane Public Radio, just like you, make this service possible. Thank you for doing your part.
Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga Law School.
And I'm Nathan Weinbinder, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that doesn't always make it to the movie theater. But when we do stay home, we still find ways to soothe our movie-going Joneses. How? By using one of the various streaming services to either binge-watch television series or to seek out any way we can otherwise hard-to-find movies that either we've yet to see or that we're anxious to see again. We decided that this week was a good opportunity to share some of the things that the three of us have watched most recently or that we're excited about watching as soon as we can find the time. We've done shows similar to this before, listing some of our favorite binge-watching exercises, from series such as Game of Thrones and The Wire to documentaries such as Making of a Murderer and Wormwood. MP, why don't you begin talking about some of the shows that we've most recently binge-watched?
Well, thank you, Dan. I'd be happy to do that. And Nathan suggested that perhaps we can discuss our respective ways of binge-watching, because that term can encompass a variety of approaches to viewing your cinema, wheat or chaff. But people are going to think that we're really old school here, Webster, because we're going to go to some throwback binge-watching opportunities that we've taken in the relative recent past. One, a U.S. series. Two, a Danish series. And three, a French series. So the first one is Hannibal. And we were introduced to that by a house guest who we had, Lewis. And he was a huge fan. And so we decided that we would watch it. And it was probably one of the goriest things I've ever seen. I cannot believe that this was actually on NBC. But if you can put that aside, and it's difficult to do, and what part of this story is focusing on Hannibal Lecter did I not think would be gory? I don't know. It definitely kept my interest throughout the entire first season that we watched.
We need to point out that Hannibal is based upon the characters that Thomas Harris created for Red Dragon and the sequel later on, Hannibal, not Silence of the Lambs, that isn't a part of it, but it is basically with Hannibal Lecter, played by Mads Mikkelsen, who becomes the center, because the other, Hugh Dancy, plays Will Graham, the guy who is
the criminal profiler.
Right, exactly. And to address your point about how we watch these things, sometimes the material itself dictates that, because we could not watch more than one or two at a time, and we'd go, enough creepiness.
Yeah.
Enough creepiness.
Doesn't it make you hungry, though? Because there's
always
the question, because I've seen Hannibal too, and I'm a big fan. You're always wondering what exactly it is that everyone's eating. Are they eating?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Because especially when you see Mads Mikkelsen's little smile as he's watching them chow down.
And Mads Mikkelsen is closer to Thomas Harris's description of Hannibal Lecter in the books than someone like Anthony Hopkins,
Brian Cox.
Anthony Hopkins, that's probably the definitive version of the character, won an Oscar for Silence of the Lambs. But Mads Mikkelsen, if you've read the books, and I've read the first two Thomas Harris books, Red Dragon and The Silence of the Lambs, the way that he describes Hannibal Lecter fits Mads Mikkelsen a little bit better. I don't know if who's portrayal I prefer. They're completely different takes on the character. No. And I mean, the tone of the material is completely different from really any of the Hannibal Lecter movies. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it's a little bit more restrained because they are on network television, even though some of the gore is
restrained?
Shocking.
That's
for
so hard to believe.
Primetime television. But
this is an extremely stylized version,
it's
too.
It's a beautiful show.
Because Mads Mikkelsen, I mean, every time he comes on screen, he's wearing a different suit and tie ensemble and so forth. I really liked Lawrence Fishburne. Gillian Anderson, at least in the first season, has a sort of recurring part. I understand
she's
later
a bigger
she becomes,
part later, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy I saw it. The question is, we just saw the first season. Will I continue? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. But
okay.
What else?
The foreign shows you've watched.
Right. So again, a little old school, but let me talk first about this French series that's called Spiral, at least in English, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the French.
Engrenage.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Beautiful.
And I am really engaged with this particular series, and so I'm definitely going to continue to watch it, but it's an old police procedural. It just started its seventh season, but throughout the course of the first season, and again, there are some grisly pieces or parts, there are different players, prosecutor, judge, police, journalist, all these different people come into our purview, and our feelings about them change from episode to episode because there are no clear good guys or bad guys in this particular series. And I think anyone who's interested in the law, this more so than anything else I've seen, really does give you a good sense of how the civil inquisitorial system of the criminal process works in comparison with our more common law adversarial system. So I like it for that as well.
Yeah, and it's
and Dan has a crush on the major male protagonist.
Yeah, well, I can't even pronounce the guy's name. It's Gregory Fitoussi, and he's got eyes to die for. But what's interesting for me is that we all complain about the American judicial system at times. You don't want to get arrested for anything in France. It's just not a pretty picture. But I like Spiral also. What about the Danish one?
Dicta. I think that we're familiar with other noir or crime thriller police
series.
Procedurals coming out of Scandinavia. And this is sort of a light version of that because our primary protagonist is a journalist here, doesn't belong to the police or the law, officially speaking. And it also provides more backstory. So I think it's a very enjoyable watch. So if people are looking for something between the sort of British murder mysteries and the noir, I would highly recommend Dicta.
And the thing you'll like about it, Nathan, the thing you'll like about it the most is she'll break a big story and then 5 minutes later, the story's all written. They're online and everything.
That's how it works.
People never write these stories. They just push a button.
Also, don't tell me what I'll like.
Good point.
I'll talk about some shows. I know that we mostly talk about movies here, but, you know, occasionally we like to break out of that box a little bit. So I'll talk about some shows that are streaming right now that I really like. One that I've fallen in love with recently, the second season just wrapped up. It's an NBC sitcom called The Good Place. Have either of you watched this?
No,
people keep recommending it to us.
It's this very high concept
comedy.
Yeah, it's a very high concept comedy, which those usually don't work. The premise is that a woman played by Kristen Bell wakes up and she's in heaven, ostensibly, or as they call it, the good place. And Ted Danson is the guy who's sort of ushering her in and kind of welcoming her. And you meet all of the other people that are in the happy place that have just gotten there at the same time. And you learn all of the processes and the routines that go on there. And that's all I'll say about it because this is one of those rare comedies that actually has a lot of twists in the story that you won't see coming. And so the second season, which just dropped on Netflix and which I just started watching last night, has a lot of interesting stuff going on in terms of its structure, in terms of its jokes, in terms of the way that the story unfolds. You'll have to see the first season. It's not a sitcom you can just drop in whatever week you want.
Okay, so my question is, so when we talk about binge watching, do you just reserve a Saturday and just go for it?
That's typically how I do it because once I get started on something and it's really working for me, I'm just going to keep going. And the services make it super easy for you because they just start the next episode whether you want to or not. So it says, the next episode starting in 20 seconds. Well, I might as well. I'm sitting here, right? So this is the kind of show that I think you could easily breeze through a season in a day and be perfectly satisfied and then just move right on to season two, maybe the next weekend. But that's one that I really love. Another one on Netflix, this is a Netflix original, and this one's a bit older and I caught up with it recently, called American Vandal. And I'll have to kind of be trepidatious about how I talk about this because there are certain things in the plot that I don't think you can even say on the radio. But let's just say
I'm intrigued by that too. We have not yet watched it, but it sounds really interesting.
It is a parody of all of those true crime series that Netflix has pretty much made famous. So now they're essentially parodying themselves. And it's set in a high school where the resident troublemaker has been accused of graffitiing obscene things on all of the teachers' cars in the parking lot. And these two student filmmakers have decided that they're going to solve the mystery because they don't believe that this guy actually did it. They think that there's some inconsistencies in the story. And it turns into this crazy elaborate thing where they've got the cork boards with the photos and note cards all over it and the red yarn connecting everything. And this is another show, American Vandal, that has some surprises in store where the plot actually draws you in and you start thinking, well, maybe it's not the person I thought it was. Maybe it's this person. And at the heart of it is basically a very, very puerile, almost grade school level joke. And I can't recommend that one highly enough. If you've seen all of those true crime shows, this is the next one to see.
Yes, we have.
As long as you don't mind potty humor, because that is what it is. But it's very sophisticated.
Pot humor or?
Potty humor.
Although
it could be both, frankly.
Mr. Hanky Poo.
Yeah, right. It could be either one. So that's another one I'll recommend, American Vandal on Netflix. Okay. And The Good Place. Don't sleep on The Good Place. It's terrific.
Okay. And it's time to take a break. This is Movies 101, and we've been sharing some of what we've been watching lately in the comfort of our respective homes. Before we go, though, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to continue this special edition, home entertainment edition of our show. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Muppet Show!
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbin, and I discussed some of the movies and shows that we've either been watching lately or that we're interested in watching in the comfort of our own home. And one of the points that both Mary Pat and Nathan made during the first half of the show was we were talking about shows that were old. For example, the French series Engrenage, which dates back to 2005 on French television, but then didn't even become available in 2012. But the point is that on any of these streaming services, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, there is such a vast treasure trove of material. How can anybody watch any or all of it? It's amazing. So some of this stuff is old, but that doesn't mean it isn't good. And that doesn't mean that people won't, in their search, find something that's worth seeing, even if it is a couple of decades
and
old.
I can absolutely foresee what our retirement might look like someday, Webster. Just saying.
Well, make retirement a lot easier for you, right? Because now all you have to do is just get a Netflix subscription and you're good.
Right.
I wanted to talk about the streaming services themselves because we've talked about the actual content, but I kind of want to look at it from a broader perspective and pull back a little bit because Netflix is obviously the king of streaming services right now. And I recommended two shows that are on Netflix, but I'm often disappointed in the selection that Netflix has, particularly when it comes to films. I mean, in terms of their own movies, they're branching out. They've got stuff in every genre imaginable. Yet most of the Netflix movies aren't very good, even though they're set to release the next Alfonso Cuarón film and the next Martin Scorsese film. And they've done some good stuff like Okja, which we really liked. But for the most part, they're just kind of buying up anything they can, anything that major studios haven't really had any interest in. And so it's kind of diluting their brand in a way where it's not so much quality as quantity with Netflix. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, when you go and try and look for a really good movie to watch, you will find some stuff. They've got some really good titles on there. But if you want to go past, say, earlier than 1975, you're going to have a real hard time.
And that was the point you were making, is that in terms of classic film, what they call classics,
it's embarrassing.
Yes.
It's embarrassing. So if that's the case, you have to fill in the gaps with other streaming services.
Right.
So if you have Amazon Prime, which I also have, there's a lot of older movies on there. I really like Amazon Prime for all of its B movies and its trashy horror movies, of which it has many. You can get lost in there.
So let me ask you, so when Netflix came in the mail and you waited, you know, to get that little red envelope and so forth, it seemed to me at that point it had a wide variety of independent and foreign
films. But movies
films.
Come and go on
so
Netflix.
So what the heck happened?
Right. Well, and I think it depends on licensing. I think it's really difficult to get the streaming rights for things. And there are lots of major films that just aren't on any streaming service, aren't available to rent on iTunes or Comcast or anything like that. And so that's why it's important to still have physical media. And so Netflix still mails out DVDs, and their DVD library is vast. They have pretty much everything that you can possibly imagine that's still in print.
Well, and then we have the problem, of course, with buffering and so forth. So I wanted to show RBG to some people at my house. And so
that's
I
the
got
documentary
it on,
about Ruth Bader
right,
Ginsburg.
And I got it on Amazon Prime. But then I got nervous because I was like, well, what if something goes wrong? It's on CNN streaming. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So then I just ordered the old school DVD because
that'll never steer you wrong unless it gets scratched or something.
Right.
But
exactly.
That's the thing is, like, even if you have Netflix, you also, I mean, if you're a completist that like we are, where we're constantly watching stuff, you have to have Amazon Prime and you have to have Hulu. I also have Filmstruck, which that fills
the gaps.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so Filmstruck is a streaming service that was started by the Criterion Collection and Janus Films. So a lot of the Criterion Collection is on there, but they also have a lot of films from the vaults of places like MGM and 20th Century Fox. So if you want to watch Casablanca or Singing in the Rain, just kind of the basic old school Hollywood classics, the Spencer Tracy films, they're on there. But they also have a lot of obscure foreign stuff, a lot of indie stuff. So if your tastes run a little more eclectic and obscure, Filmstruck's the way to go. And that fills in all the gaps that Netflix, frankly, offers up in terms of older movies. I don't know if Netflix has any movies in black and white even, you know. I mean, they might have a few.
Well, but. And I do think that people need to be cautious about what they're purchasing because, as we know, some of these you go on to try to find something and it is behind a paywall, but they make it so easy for you to click that you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're privy to a recent story of someone who ordered many, many, many adult films without realizing that they were $15.
Not either of us.
Right.
Not either
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, a friend of mine. It's
yeah,
not me
it
either,
was
for
a
the record.
Friend. Yeah. So I think that you need to have some consciousness about that,
sure.
too, because you can get a huge surprise at the end of the month.
Well, that's one of the problems I do have with Amazon Prime. You go on there, and quite often you see something you want, but you have to pay extra for it. You're already paying for the streaming service.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Netflix, and it's not the case with Hulu either.
If it's not on there, it's not on there.
Right. The problem with Hulu is, and you just educated us about this today, we only pay the basic amount, so we have to put up with the ads. So we have friends who lend us DVDs of things because they hate the ads, so they won't do that.
Yeah, I pay extra, so I don't have any
ads.
Yeah,
who knew that for an additional $4, we could go ad-free?
Oh, absolutely.
It's totally worth it.
Well, so Nathan, tell us about some of the more obscure films, especially in the horror genre that you've sussed out through various means.
Sure. Well, I was looking through last night the various streaming services that I subscribe to, just kind of trying to find some stuff that I thought had fallen through the cracks that were on there. And I'll start with Netflix. One of my favorite movies of recent years that I think is a kind of a polarizing one is from 2009. It's Steven Soderbergh's comedy, The Informant. That's an informant with an exclamation point at
the
end.
Oh, right. Yes.
Starring Matt Damon as a guy who tried to be an FBI whistleblower and ended up being something of an embezzler himself.
Mm-hmm.
I rewatched that recently. I think that's a terrific movie that didn't get its due. It's on Netflix now. You can watch it if you have that. Another movie I want to flag up that's on Netflix right now, recently added, is Under the Skin from 2013, which was Jonathan Glazer's sci-fi horror movie about an alien that looked like Scarlett Johansson
who was
consuming men around Ireland. I think that's one of the great genre films of recent
Ireland
years.
Or Scotland?
Either Ireland or
they're
Scotland.
Interchangeable.
I think it's one of the great cerebral genre films of recent years. That's on Netflix now, too. Some other recent ones that are on Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime, I mean, you can get lost in that library.
Yes.
It's so vast. But 20th Century Women, starring Annette Bening, Greta Gerwig, Elle Fanning, that just showed up on there. A Ghost Story from 2017, which we really liked. That was kind of in and out of theaters for about a week. I don't think many people saw it. If you've got problems,
Rooney Mara, Casey Affleck.
Yeah, if you've got problems with Casey Affleck, he spends the whole movie under a sheet, so you're good. that movie's on, I think that's just a beautiful rumination on death. And then a movie that I don't think we ever talked about on this show, but it's from 2016. It's called Krisha, the first film by Trey Edward Schultz, who went on to do It Comes at Night. And
really?
It's this really strange, claustrophobic family drama about this woman named Krisha who comes back.
Spell that.
K-R-I-S-H-A.
Okay.
And she comes back for a family Thanksgiving after years of being estranged for reasons that we find out later. And it's maybe even more horrifying than It Comes at Night, which was an actual horror suspense film. It's just this very claustrophobic, stressful film about re-entering a situation that you got out of for good reason. And it
and who
traps
plays Krisha?
You in this house. It's a woman named, I think, Krisha Martell or something like that. She's an unknown. And it's mostly unknown actors in the movie. And I think it's really terrific. I don't think anybody saw it. It obviously got Trey Edward Schultz a second directing job. But check it out. It's a little bit overblown in places in terms of the style that he's using. But it's on Prime. It's free if you're paying. Well, it's not free.
And I think that there are some other films that are coming out. Like big movies that either are coming back or appearing for the first time in these streaming services. Now, here's where I get conflicted because Black Panther is coming out on Netflix.
Yes.
Of
it's
course,
there right now if you want to watch it.
Of course, you need to see that on the big screen. And we try to tell people week to week if we think that something is a must-see on the big screen. And there aren't that many films, but I think this is one of them. But maybe you have an 85-inch TV in your house. Who knows?
And I also think, I mean, everybody saw Black Panther in the theater. I mean, it
I
made
hope.
Like
yeah.
$1 billion. So,
right.
I mean, if you want to go back and watch it again, it's there. But who knows? I mean, a lot of the Marvel movies are on there right now, but who knows if they'll all get yanked down at some point.
Here's another one that you can get on Amazon Prime. That's available in September that should be seen on a big screen, and that's P.T. Anderson's There Will Be Blood. I mean, that is one of the best movies of this century.
Sure.
One of our favorite...
We're only 18 years into the century, but it's definitely one of the best.
One of our favorite off-radio topics among the three of us is people are always marveling at the fact that I use my iPhone 8 Plus for everything, but... not for movies. So we are always having this ongoing discussion about watching these things. Are we talking about watching it on your phone? I don't think so.
Just saying. I'll sometimes watch like an episode or two of TV on my phone if I'm on a plane or something like that. Like I'll download an episode because you're just sitting around. What else are you going to do? But yeah, but everything else I'm watching at home, I'm watching it on my
phone?
TV.
What, your battery works that long?
Yeah, actually it does. Well, it works for about 25 minutes and then it dies. But yeah, I mean, I think that there are pluses and minuses to all of these services. I subscribe to all of them because
I'd love to hear from people who are listening to the show about any tips that you have or hacks that you have with respect to this because we
legal,
know a lot.
Legal hacks.
Oh,
legal
yeah,
hacks,
good point.
People.
Yeah, well taken. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mary Pat's our lawyer in any incident. But, you know.
That's right.
Ooh, you're in trouble for multiple reasons.
And that's all the time we have for this special edition of Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and early in the show, Nathan Weinman and Mary Pat Truthart and I discussed shows and movies that we chose or are likely to choose soon in the comfort of our own homes. We need to remember to thank Jim Tevenin for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. And we invite you back next week, same time, same spot in the radio dial, and we'll again explore the world of contemporary cinema. Until then, remember these words from Game of Thrones producer D.B. Weiss. I think the main reason people binge watch is because they can. We're like dogs, really. If we like something, we tend to gorge ourselves on it until there's no more left. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.